time where kiddos who are going to children's church are released to go with your teachers for the Easter egg hunt. And my kids had an Easter egg hunt yesterday, and they didn't find a couple that I found. So I might come back here tomorrow morning and look for ones that you guys missed. Our children's program, we have birth through first grade downstairs in this building, and then there's second through fifth grade in the building behind me over here. If you want to have your kids in service here, that's great too. Just want to let you know that. Also, if you are a... Oh, you guys are all cleaned up. If you're a regular member here at Adventure and you came prepared to give an offering, just want to let you know this morning we have a box in the back there. We're going to take that in that way. So after the service, if you want to give to that, you can put it back there. Visitors, welcome to Adventure Church this morning. Glad you came to join us. And I'm really excited. I think that God has something for each of us this morning. I want to talk a little bit about, can we just tone down the lights a little bit? I like to see faces out there, see who's sleeping. Has anybody here ever gotten up early in the morning intentionally for the only purpose of watching the sunrise? Quite a few hands. I was impressed first service too, how many people have done that. I don't know if I have before, but incredible display of all this coordination, the orbit of the earth spinning, everything perfect around the sun, so that all this life breaks forth on the earth. It's an incredible thing that happens every day, and we miss it a lot of the time, unless you work really early or you get up early. I grabbed these out of my, now it's kind of wilting. I'll have to get a new one for third service. But this is a common salmonberry bush, which is all too common in my yard. And it's kind of woody, and this is what it looks like all winter long. And then, see this green? It was a little more perky before I cut it. But look, it just comes out of this woody stem, like a magician pulling a flower out of his sleeve, you know? It's amazing. And these are things that happen around us every spring. These things burst forth again. The ground bubbles, and this black, cold soil gives way to these beautiful pastel-colored bulbs. I mean, all this around us is extraordinary, and yet it's also very common. And what I feel like God wants to say this morning is a caution, because when we become very familiar with the extraordinary, something happens to our hearts and they can start to fall asleep. They're still extraordinary things, but we see them every day and we start to almost become desensitized to them. But the creation around us is no accident, and even the seasons and the days ending and beginning again constantly are these wake-up calls that the Lord has placed around us that we can either respond to or we can stay in our slumber. I want you to think about your life as a story. Think of your life in the context of a story, break it down into chapters, and every chapter has a title. So think about the titles that you would put in your story, in the chapters of your story. What words would describe each chapter? And I think you'd find that a lot of those chapters would be events in your life. And in those events, the phenomenon that happens is your heart's awake. That's why you even remember them or even categorize them as chapters in your story. Let's look at it a little bit to give you some examples, help you see what I'm talking about. Think back. You probably don't remember learning how to walk. You don't consciously remember it, but your heart remembers it. And that was an awakening of your heart into something new. And it was freedom. It was mobility. And now you had the power to strike fear and panic on your parents' face, right? Running down a gravel hill as fast as you can with wobbly legs. You could stand up now and pull the tablecloth off the table. You're discovering things in your journey even back before you can consciously remember them. Maybe some people can remember when they're one or two and they started walking, but I can't. Something else that hit you during that time is you got hurt. You got burned by a stove or something, and you started to awaken to the fact that, okay, I could get really hurt in this world. you climb your first tree, and you get that kind of that thrill of that new viewpoint that you've never had before. You know, you're 3 feet tall, and you get up this tree, and you're like, wow, this is amazing. And then you realize how hard it is to climb back down the tree. It's easier to climb up it. So your decisions and your actions have consequence, and you learn that as well. Then you have your first relationships. So with your family, you have a buddy when you're little, and you start to realize and recognize that life is so much better when you share it with somebody else, and your heart's awakening to something there. Check, you know, another chapter in your story. Flavors, new flavors, discovering new flavors can be a form of awakening. Even as an adult, I ordered some ice cream at a restaurant that was rose-flavored ice cream, and it tasted like a rose smells. Nobody could have described, like, how do you do that? It was really good. I would have thought it tasted like perfume or something, but it was really good. Fresh figs off a tree. Anybody here ever had one of those? Yeah, few people. Okay, fig Newtons in the package are an insult to God's creation of figs. I like fig Newtons, but after you have the real fig, it's like they're two different things. I don't know what they put in the fig Newton, but I can't describe to you, oh, a fig tastes like this other fruit. It's very unique. So even just at that level of flavors, awakening to new flavors. And then you graduate from school. You have some turning point event in your life, and you have roads before you, you know, maybe 3, 4, or 5 different choices. And the questions start to stir in your heart, does it matter what road I choose? Are they all okay? Or if I pick the wrong one, is it going to affect my life in certain ways? Or the right one? Is there a significance to my choices in life at this point? Your first love, falling in love. Your heart awakens to something new there. Sweaty palms, nervous smile. And you go after that, or you're silent and trembling, or you run the other way. Your heart made some decisions in that time, and there's a chapter written in your story. What did you do with that? But your heart was awake in that season. And then your first heartbreak. And now you know that your heart's awake because you can feel the pain of it. A new kind of pain that you haven't experienced before. And while your heart's awake, you're making decisions about the future. Am I ever going to let myself be in this place again? Am I ever going to let myself feel this again? Awakenings. Parenthood brings in a new level of awakenings. Suddenly, there's this weight. I've felt it for myself. I've watched it in other people when they have their first child. Suddenly, there's this awakening to, wow, my life choices, yeah, they affect the other people around me, but there's a significant effect on this child and the course of his life or her life. And you awaken to how much of a role you play in other people's lives. Your heart's awake at that moment. Losing somebody close to you is a chapter that most of us have. Maybe we have several chapters on that. And there's this awakening to the relationships in your life. Even maybe it's just really brief, but there's this great awareness in that season of losing somebody of how important relationships are to you, your close relationships are to you, and how brief this life is for the people you love and you know and for yourself, and opens up questions of what's next after this. Will I see that person again? What about me? Where am I headed? And there's this awakening. Have you guys experienced those chapters of your life as these great great moments of awareness of life and what it means, and the big questions are answered? Or have you experienced a lot of those chapters more like being tapped on the shoulder at night in a deep sleep, and you kind of wrestle and you don't really wake up enough to know who's tapping you or what they want, but just enough to roll over in your bed and kind of settle back into sleep. And then you're tapped again a little while later by another one of these events, these chapters in your life. I think a lot of us, myself included, have experienced a lot of these like that. I've watched people in my life, and since I've come into a relationship with God, I've watched God pursue them, and I've watched it play out, and I've watched these events happen, and there's a season, there's a window of time where their hearts are open, and they can hear God even. They know something. They talk with me. I see them talk with others. They're pursuing, but then something draws them back into the day-to-day, the things that they were doing that kept them from needing to think about that, the things that I would call in this message sleep, that kind of draw them, woo them back to sleep, where in that moment when they're awake, God was trying to get their attention. Because this is where God camps out, okay? I'm not saying he causes all of those events, but he wants to speak to us, and the way he can speak to us is to speak to our hearts. And so he waits for those events, or he comes in during those times, those chapters of our life where our hearts are awake. Be thinking about what the chapter is you're in right now as I talk about this. But God comes in during those times, and he speaks to us. And we listen and respond, or we roll over and we go back to sleep, only to be tapped again at some point by something. There's a book, Black Stallion, by Walter Farley, that has a really interesting picture in kind of towards the middle of the book of this boy who is shipwrecked on an island. Okay? No survivors in the shipwreck except himself and this black, wild stallion. And the boy is afraid of the stallion, but also drawn to it in a way. And over the course of his time on this island, realizing there's nothing else for him to look to, no other connections, no other distractions, he realizes his only hope of companionship is this horse. And he wants to connect with it. And so he starts to hope. Everything else removed, he starts to hope that maybe he could get close to it on the beach as it's running on the beach. And then, I wonder if it would eat from my hand. And then he starts to wonder, that would be wild if I could ride this horse. If I could connect at that level, that we're flying down the beach with the thunder of hooves and the wind in our face. We'll be right back. I love that picture because that's a picture of exactly where God wants to get us to in our lives, throughout our lives. I know it's a horse and a boy, but that's what God wants for us, is connection. At that moment when the boy's riding on the horse and his arms are up in the air, there's nothing else. There's no other sources of life that he's looking to. Complete connection. And joy and freedom, safety. He's pressed through all his fears about this horse. We press through our fears about God to discover that he's not a God who's coming to condemn, to punish, but he's coming for a relationship and connection with us. Laying down everything the world has told us or people have told us or in our own minds we have concluded about God, discovering that we were made to connect with God in a relational level that we cannot imagine until we experience it. So, Easter and Jesus. And what does he have to do with all that? The amazing thing about Easter is Jesus, I'm going to talk a little bit more about what he accomplished through his resurrection. First, I want to talk about what he did right after he rose from the dead. Because what he opened up for this next era, after his death and resurrection, he opened up an era that we still live in, which is a whole new level of awakening to God in relationship with him. Whole new level. And he starts right in with his followers to start to awaken them to that. He goes back to the people who walked with him for years in person, listened to him talk. He talked directly with them and says, guess what? There's so much more even than what you already received from me. Goes to Peter. Okay, after Jesus crucified, tomb's empty, he shows up. Peter's back fishing with some of the other disciples, and he finds Peter. And Peter, remember, was the one who would have died for Jesus. He would have killed anybody for Jesus. He was very passionate when the Lord was walking with him. But during the trial of Jesus, where there was this persecution and things were unsure, he was afraid, and he denied knowing Jesus. So now the Lord comes back to him, and what does he bring? He brings a picture to us of God's heart. He calls Peter back up, and he says, Peter, I'm not coming to address what you said in fear. God's not coming to address what we've concluded about him or what we fear about him. He's coming to address our hearts, okay? Peter's heart was awake in that moment when the risen Lord came to him and he was out fishing. He jumped off the boat and swam to the shore and embraced him. But then Jesus says, do you love me? He doesn't say, why did you deny me? Why were you afraid? Why did you do that? He says, do you love me? Three times. So that Peter would believe it. Jesus already did believe it. He wanted Peter to. And then he speaks identity into Peter. He commissions him and says, now let me tell you the truth about you. You're going to feed my sheep. You're going to lead my people. You're going to start this thing, this whole new era. You're going to tell the people about this great news that relationship with God, like it was meant to be, is available again. So that's an awakening he's bringing to Peter. He goes to Thomas, one of the other followers of Jesus, who Thomas wasn't there when Jesus first appeared to the group of disciples, and he's like, I don't believe this. You know, unless I touch Jesus' resurrected body and put my hand in his side, my fingers in the holes and the nails in his hand, I don't believe. Well, Jesus honors that request for him. But then he speaks because he knows many, many others. And I've heard people say that. I've probably found myself in that position at times. Unless I see physical evidence of God, I will not believe. And Jesus speaks to all of us. And he says, you believe because you've seen me. But blessed are those who believe even though they have not seen. And so he's basically saying, there's going to be a time where I'm not physically going to be on this earth, and you're going to have to choose what you believe about me. But blessed are those who step into that by faith. And the really cool thing is as I've chosen to do that in my own life, I start to see God all over the place. I see his fingerprints, I hear his voice, I see him moving and working in relationship with me and the people around me. And so he's blessed me with that, but it took first him calling me to step forward without seeing. On the road to a town, there are two disciples walking after Jesus' resurrection. The town is called Emmaus. And they were walking there discussing, wow, we thought, you know, the Lord was going to come and be this king and ruler and establish Jerusalem. And we're just confused. And Jesus kind of steps onto the road disguised, having a little fun with his followers. He said, what are you talking about? Who's this Jesus? And they're like, are you nuts? It's all over the place. Everyone's talking about Jesus. And he says, well, haven't you heard? And he starts on this walk as they're walking to town, unfolding, awakening them to the whole Old Testament that was written about him and all the things that would need to happen to him and why. He's revealing to them the larger story, awakening their hearts to something more. Now, he waited to reveal himself until the end of that conversation, and they were eating bread together, and he broke bread, and then they recognized him, and he disappeared. I mean, he was having so much fun with these guys. They ran back to the other disciples. What's funny is it says they immediately got up and returned. So they walked all this way to their town. They sit down to break bread together. Jesus, reveals himself, disappears. They get up, and they head all the way back to the disciples. Like, we got to go tell them. So he gets back to their disciples, but guess how they describe what Jesus did on that walk? It says that he opened the scriptures to them. How they translated that was, weren't our hearts burning within us? That's how they experienced the Lord opening the scriptures to them. They felt it in their heart, this burning. That's what God's doing. He's awakening. One more, Mary Magdalene, this committed follower of Jesus, is mourning. She doesn't understand that he's going to be resurrected. She goes back to the tomb Sunday morning with all these spices to continue the burial preparations. Well, when she gets there, in the dark still, early, she hears a voice behind her, and he asks, it's Jesus, she doesn't know it yet. He asks two really significant questions. He asks, why are you weeping? And then he says, who are you looking for? And I think Jesus is still asking that question. It's Easter Sunday. We're sitting here in service. He might say to you, who are you looking for? Why are you here? And that caused Mary, both those questions are heart-level questions. Why are you weeping? If you see somebody weeping, you say, why are you weeping? I mean, they got to dig into their heart, and they've got to communicate what's hurting them and paining them so much that they're weeping. If you know that somebody's looking for somebody or has a purpose, and you say, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? Who are you looking for? It stirs their heart. You're talking directly into their heart, and that's what Jesus is doing with them, with Mary in this situation. As soon as he says her name, Mary recognizes that it's Jesus. As soon as he hears him say her name. So now let's talk a little bit about what Jesus accomplished. If God's awakening us for a reason, it's for a reason. And we need to understand that and decide if we want to respond to it or not. First man was fully awake, was created in this state of full awareness, full connection with God, set in creation that was uncorrupted, that displayed the wisdom and power and love of God. I mean, that's the original creation. And then so that it would mean something, everyone in this room has relationships. And so you can understand this concept. God wants that relationship to mean something. He gives man a choice. He says, you can choose relationship with me. You can come under my leadership, provision, and protection. Or I give you the choice to follow your own leadership, provision, protection. You can choose a life outside of relationship with me and outside of leadership of me. And so we get these two choices. Mankind in the beginning gets these two choices, and we have to accept the consequences as well, though. We get the choice, we don't get to choose the consequence. Anyone who's a parent can understand that concept. So man decides, I think I'm going to give it a shot, leading things myself. And the consequences of that, God said, consequences of following my leadership are eternal relationship with me, connection with me, the author of life, love, joy, hope, anything good. A wild and untamed yet extremely good God says you can have relationship with me forever. Or you can live out your days in the flesh, and they're not that many. Leading your own life, scraping on that island, trying to find something to bring you life to pass the time until your flesh gives way and then your spirit is sent separated from God forever. Separated from what we actually choose to be separated from, which is the author of life. That's death. Okay, that was the original offer to man. Now God sees this problem. The whole reason he created man, the whole reason he set all this up is because he wanted relationship. It wasn't so that he could create a people that he could punish. He created a people that he could fellowship with and connect with. So he provides, he makes provision to be able to offer us another choice. And that's what Easter celebration is about, is Jesus coming back to his disciples and explaining more. Coming to us this morning and saying, mankind's back where it was in the beginning. There's two choices. You can choose the leadership of God and choose to accept his protection, provision for your life, or you can continue to live out your days in your own leadership. And you can create your own protection and provision for your life. Same consequences as in the beginning. Jesus owed nothing. As God, he owed nothing in that sacrifice. So the payment goes fully to us if we'll receive it. And so that's the celebration. It's like, what's this big celebration? Jesus rose from the dead. Yeah, but it's what that means for us. It's what that offer means for us is what the celebration is. And so I don't know what chapter you're in this morning. Like I said, you know, be thinking about if you were to write the chapter title right now, you might not even know all of the title. But what things have been happening in your life right now? Could there maybe be a place in that that God's trying to speak to you? Again, like I said, I don't think God creates every event that stirs our hearts. But he certainly shows up in every event with an offer. The offer that I just described. This payment for that separation, for that choice to lead your own life, and the offer to let him lead you into life. And maybe you do have that relationship with God. You are walking with him. Are there things going on, stirring in your life where he's calling you deeper? I have not experienced yet in my life a feeling that there is not more relationship with God to experience in depth. It's very diminishing to God to hold that idea that you can in the few years that I've lived, because I'm so young, to say, I've experienced everything there is to experience of God. This is great. I'm just going to coast from here on until I go to live with him in heaven. So I know that Easter morning is a busy morning for everybody, and a lot of us have plans and get-togethers and things that we're going to. I want to provide, I think that God wants to provide an opportunity to respond to maybe some of the awakenings that he's bringing in your life recently. The chapter that you're in right now. So before we head out of here, if you wouldn't mind, if you are somebody here this morning and you know that it's very clear, yeah, I have not made that choice to let God lead me. I haven't taken that path. The offer's been made many times, or maybe it's your first time hearing that God's offering relationship to you. I just want to pray a prayer and ask if that's something that you want to do, that you want to respond to that, and not just acknowledge that the offer's there, but to receive it, that you can do that right now. God did reveal that about himself. Jesus said of himself, I did not come to condemn the world. So if you feel condemnation from God, it's not from him. That wasn't his mission. He said, I did not come to condemn the world. I came to save it. Isn't that incredible? That can be an amazing revelation for some people here right now. Just that. You have never understood the concept that God did not come to condemn. He came to love and to save. So let's pray. So Jesus, I just thank you for the celebration of Easter. Thank you that we have something to celebrate. So much more than just the stories of rising from the dead, but what you came then and explained of the meaning of what that means. The cross, the blood, the death that you gave, and then through the power of God, the victory over death. That you now still, with the same heart and character as the beginning, you offer to us if we would choose it. And so, Lord, right now I want to choose to receive that payment. I acknowledge that my self-leadership has led me away from you and out of relationship with you. And so right now I choose to receive the payment that you made on the cross. It was not for you at all. You needed to pay nothing. It was for me. And so I receive that payment for my sins, past, present, future. You have washed them all away by your blood. You look at me, you see the righteousness of Jesus, and there is no condemnation. I receive that. Thank you, Lord, that this makes the way for me to now have right relationship with you. This is your way. I'm choosing your way right now in those two paths. I give you leadership of my life. I hand over the systems I've been using to try and scratch up a life for myself in this world through pursuing people, through pursuing things, through trying on my own to be good, and I recognize that all those things fail. You are the source of life. And so I give you leadership of my life now. I pray that you would grant me, as you say you will, your Holy Spirit, and I receive it now, to come and dwell in me, to be my guide, my counselor, my comforter, and in those moments when my heart's awakened by the events of life, I could hear you even more clearly as I walk in right relationship with you. I receive that now. I pray that you would give me direction moving forward to walk with you and what that means. Thank you, God, you're not calling me to understand everything right now, but you look forward to the process of revealing to me, just like you did with your disciples, more and more, deeper and deeper awakenings. Thank you, Lord. I receive that. And just continuing in prayer, I just want to pray a prayer for those of us who have been walking with God for some time, but understand that we're not, there's more. We're not necessarily lined up with mission, on mission with God, and feeling the fullness of relationship that's available with him. So, Lord, I just come before you, and I recognize your heart towards Peter, that you're not holding a grudge, that you're not looking to hold over me the things that I've said about you or the things that I've done in my own life that have not been by your leadership. What you want is to move forward in relationship. So I give those things to you, Lord. I know that your blood covers them. And I'm in right relationship with you right now in this moment as you awaken my heart. Lord, would you come speak to me like you did to Peter? Show me who I am. Ask me the questions that help me to know where my heart is with you. Ask me, do you love me? because I say right now, Lord, I do. I love you. And I look forward to mission with you, Lord. Lead me in that moving forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, God, if you're willing to see it, if you're willing to see the salmon berries giving life, you know, and berries coming on them, willing to see the rising sun, if you're willing to hear the voice of the Lord speaking into these awakenings in your life, the hard times, the good times, there's more relationship available with him. If you made a decision to follow Jesus this morning, I would love to know about it. I'm not going to make you sign up for anything. I'm not going to make you feel weird. I'd just love to talk with you. I don't bite. You can come up with and talk to me after the service. If you had an experience recently with God that you just want to share, or maybe this morning God spoke something to you and you want to share that, you can fill out there's connection cards in your bulletin and a basket in the back there. Next week, Randy's going to be back up here on Sunday. He's going to be talking about vision, mission for the rest of this year and even next year. Some really exciting stuff that God's been speaking to him, speaking to leadership. So I'm excited for that coming. If you're visiting this morning, next week would be a great Sunday to come. It's going to give you a perspective of this fellowship, this church, this family, where God's taking us and what we're passionate about. So regular service times are 9 o'clock and 11 on Sundays. So we'd love to see you back here. He's also going to be kicking off our new series, which is really a really old series that we paused halfway through in Hebrews. So we're going to be digging into the Word and continue our book study of Hebrews, picking up with chapter 8. So if you want to do some homework this week, you could read chapters 1 through 7 of Hebrews. You guys have an incredible Easter Sunday, and we'll see you next week.